Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends like my friend, Dr. Andy. Yeah, she doesn't let friends feed kibble now, do you, Dr. Andy?
I do not. Do not.
What's going on in Paradise Hills today?
Another day in paradise, right? It's sunny.
It is, but you know, we're just now going into March, Dr. Andy.
I know.
So a lot of people are like, I'm going to go outside and plant flowers. I'm going to do this. And we're like, we have three more months. Well, at least March and April. Well, right. Maybe well, even then, May.
Right. The rule of thumb up here is not till Mother's Day.
Right. Can't push the flowers. Mm-hmm. So that's a very short time frame that we have. It really is.
It really is. It's amazing how short. And most of those days are absolutely beautiful, but we could still get a very big storm.
Oh yeah. You could get, That's what, and Rick's like, the snow during this time is heavy.
Yes.
It's right. Heavy. So that's not fun. Mm-mm. Hey, speaking of heavy, you got fat dogs in your client base?
Of course. Of course.
You know, do you ever say like, now let me just show you how you feel. There's too much fat on this dog. I mean, because you're like moving around and, you know, you're trying to, if you can't feel those ribs really easily, I think your dog is a little too fat. What are some of the other areas that people would notice that their dog is just too daggum fat?
That's the easiest place, honestly. And it's harder if they have longer hair. You're going to actually have to touch them and squeeze them. And I love the dogs that, they just need to be groomed. No, Debbie Fat.
Debbie Fat.
I actually had a Great Dane come in. She comes in every 2-3 months just for preventative care. And I look at her and I look at them. I'm like, she's fat. Just like that. I didn't even say hello. and they looked at me and they go, the vet just said the same thing. I'm like,
Do you find that the vets allow dogs to be fatter than they should be? Than you would suggest? Or are they about the same?
They're about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they do an okay job on that.
My neighbor, we were walking this morning because, you know, we're doing hard 75 and
I'm still going,
almost done. But they have a dog and they're kibble fed dogs. And this dog is very svelte. It's a really nice, you know, almost like it's a different type of pointer dog. It's a hunting dog, but he plays with this other dog who's a lab. And she goes, I said, is he still coming over to play with his buddy every day? And she said, yeah, but he runs immediately to where we have the kibble because he's a free feeder. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and he looks like it. He's a fat lab. Mm-hmm. And there are just some dogs, Dr. Andy, that you don't want to let them free feed because they don't know when to stop eating.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of free feeding, even if you do have that dog that can modulate themselves. I just think you're not going to notice a change in their eating behavior soon enough. If they, you know, maybe it goes a little longer that they haven't eaten, so something is wrong. You know, I like to know my dogs are like, yes, it's time to eat. They eat it all really fast and it's gone and they're good. They're healthy. They're energetic. They want to eat. Like, I want to see that. I'm not a big fan of free feeding, even if you have that one dog that does modulate.
Well, it's not the way that dogs were created. I mean, they're not created to just, you know, lay around and munch on cake, cookies and chemicals all day.
Correct. Right. Yeah. There's no free feeding raw.
It
gets gross. Like, you can't leave that out, right? Like, that doesn't happen. And so, yeah, when we talk free feeding, we're talking kibble, which ultra processed kibble, right?
Yeah.
They shouldn't be eating anyway.
Yeah. And I haven't heard lately what's happening with this issue with Purina and so many more. Let me see if I can find the list of all the foods that the people were having problems with. It's kept pretty quiet. I asked Brian, I said, Brian, what's going on? Because he's got his pulse on everything. And he said, well, I'm not sure. Maybe those people who were coming out and really talking about it got paid off, because we know that some were. But here's the list, Dr. Andy. This is a long list. 4health, Arcana, American Journey, Blue Buffalo, Diamond, Farmina, From, Hills. Hills, come on now. Instinct, Kirkland, Merrick, Origin, Organics, Pedigree, Primal, Pure Balance, Purina, Rachel Ray Nutrish, Royal Canin, Stella and Chewy's, and Taste of the Wild. Yikes.
Yikes. That's a big, long list.
That's a big list. So if you guys are doing any kind of mixing your cakes, your cookies, and your chemicals in with a pure, fresh, raw, evolutionary diet, and you're seeing problems, well, you might want to take that kibble out.
I actually had a client in, I don't know, week two ago. Cute little dog. Oh my God, he was adorable. And he was so good for his first adjustment. And she was like, oh, he just hasn't been himself. And, you know, and I think he might have hurt himself in the snow at some point, which is very common, right? This time of year. And I changed foods and then we going on. And then I'm like, oh, so what did you decide to do with food? What is he eating right now? Oh, we're back on Purina Pro Plan. And I look at her. And she goes, yeah, I know. There's that thing going on with that.
What?
And he doesn't really even like it. And he's not. I'm like, I just wanted to, like, you know about what's going on. Possibly. The possibility of what's going on. And you continue to feed that food to the love of your life, supposedly.
Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it. I didn't have any thing to say. I think I finally, I'm like, could you do me a favor and change that? I'm like, OMG. OMG.
And she admitted that he didn't really like it.
Well, not even like it. I wonder if, is there a problem? And he's like, I don't know if I should be eating this. Yeah. And he didn't, or he didn't like it, you know, whatever. Either way, hello.
You know, we talk about this all the time on the podcast. There's a disconnect, right? There's a disconnect. And these animals who are our friends for life, we tend to think their food shouldn't be as much as ours. I get it. And maybe in the next, you know, couple of years, we'll see that stuff come down. I don't know. I hope so. I get it. It's expensive. It's expensive, you know, relatively expensive when you look at it up against kibble, right?
Yes. But how often do I say pen to paper? How many vet visits have you gone in this last year? What are you doing medication wise? How many trips for diarrhea? Like, pen to paper everything.
Right.
And figure out how much the raw will be monthly and give it a whirl and see if it balances out or even gets better, folks.
I see so many people where their dogs get better. And
well, I know the dogs are going to get better. I meant the money wise. It may being less expensive. That's what I mean. Sorry.
So I was talking to somebody the other day, and their dog, of course, doing the itchy thing, of which they think it's an allergy to a said protein in kibble. Yes. Yes. So she was like, well, she had an allergy to, you know, whatever kibble it was. And she said, so the vet told me to try, and I think it was Purina. And she said, and it just got worse. So the vet went ahead and put her on some antibiotics. I said, you know, the only thing you ever had to do was change the food. And then
could someone explain the thought process behind antibiotics?
That's what I said. I was like, probably anyway. Isn't an allergy. It's probably just this high sugary, you know, mm-hmm. because I did the analysis. And when you do just a straight analysis, Dr. Andy, with, you know, the protein, the moisture, the fat, the fiber, the ash, it still comes out as 56% sugar. And that's before you've even gone in and looked at the type of protein that's not even digestible, highly mm-hmm. digestible, or even available to the dog. Yeah. So this, as Dr. Jasek says all the time, is criminal. You know, it is a criminal. It's criminal, criminal. But we just do what we can do here, talking and educating. I wanted to tell you, I learned something. I learned from you on the podcast about these dogs who are licking, you know, a paw or just the fronts, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I felt very smart. I don't know if I was right, but here's the thing. So we have this customer, a new customer out in California that called, and he was talking about his dog. And he said, you know, my dog is still licking his paws. And I, from what you taught me, I said, which paws and where? Just the front and just in the ankle area. Mm-hmm. What even the paws? And he was saying, I don't think my dog has candida, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, I said, you know, here's what I've learned from Dr. Andy is that it could be a back problem. And, pet parents don't realize that rust color is just a byproduct of a dog licking and this certain, you know, enzyme that's in their saliva. Right. However, I said, could be a back problem. We see that, you know, dogs don't have a way to tell you that their back hurts. Lo and behold, this dog had been in a wreck where it was such a bad wreck, the dog couldn't even turn his neck. And he had gone in and the vet said that he had a bulging disc. Now, do dogs have bulging disc?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. But and how I think, did the vet know that without an MRI? That's a whole different story.
Right.
So we could talk about that if you'd like. But
I would like to talk about that. But anyway, I didn't know any of this when I talked to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, and I said, well, he had no idea that there was such a thing as you. He had no idea that there was a dog chiropractor.
Well, now they're all over California, so he should be in good shape.
And you
could
just go to them without a vet in California? Without
I don't think so.
Well, you know, everything is crazy in California right now. But we're not going to talk about that.
It is California. I don't think so, but I do know there's many, many animal chiropractors, so they'll walk you through the process. Mm.
Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about an MRI and the bulging disc of a dog.
Bulging disc, yes. Herniation, bulging. I'm trying to think of what the vets always call it. Oh, slipped. Remember we had this conversation about those slipped discs? That's not actually true, folks.
Your disc don't slip.
Your slips don't disc. Your discs don't slip. they do bulge. They do herniate. It can be traumatic, like from a car wreck. But the vet, I'm all about words really matter. And veterinarians and you know people in general drive me nuts with this. But, you know, you have a bulging disc. Okay, well, the vet cannot tell that without an MRI. See, only way you can actually determine that. And then there's a bulge versus a herniation, when the herniation is actually when you have a goo in the middle of your disc. You have a pulposa in there. And if that goo gets out, like the fibers of the disc break open and it gets out, that is so noxious to the surrounding areas. Oh. That is, and it causes so much pain if it's on the motor side of it, of your nervous system. If it goes the other direction, it can hit sensory. So sometimes you lose the legs, but not a lot of pain. Sometimes the dog can walk, but it is incredible amount of pain. And that's the sensation nerve fibers. The other ones will be the motor is involved. So it really just depends on which way the bulge or the herniation happens. All of that, you need an MRI for that. You can suspect, Like the vet could be like, we could be looking at a disc issue here. And in here in Colorado, they would send you off to the neurologist, and the neurologist will go, well, that's nice. I need an MRI to help you. Which is frustrating to me because I think they could be of more help than they have been lately, but they're very dependent on their imaging. And 20 years into this, there's a crap ton more imaging. I mean, I don't know how many discs in quotations that I've adjusted just because we just didn't have imaging 20 years ago. And they got better. Now, loss of legs, you know, in the rear, right? Wiener dogs, mm-hmm. notorious for this, right?
Right, right?
The history generally is I came home from work and they couldn't walk. Like, literally, that is the history. Like, it is just boom. They didn't do anything per se. I mean, they did lots of dog things like leading up to that. It can be in the genetic lines, all of that. I have worked with some that if they have bladder control, meaning you pick them up, you set them out there, they know they have to pee, they pee on their own, they do generally resolve. Takes a lot of time, folks, and that's where we generally lose our patients, right? We lose our patients.
No, you mean they don't?
No, they go to surgery.
Oh,
instead of just waiting.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay,
they just go to surgery. Instead of just waiting and doing all the nurse care, which is a lot. It's a lot. I get it. But if they can't hold their urine, either they're not peeing or they're peeing excessively, or they don't know they're pooping, that's generally a surgical issue.
They've lost all feeling, and that neurological, their brain doesn't know that they need to do it, right? Yes. Is that the thing?
Yep. Yep. Those nerves are so impacted back there that the bladder and the bowel are involved. And that's generally surgical. They need to go in, clean up that disc, get that noxious material off those nerves, and get rid of the inflammation. But back to licking. And then if there's tripping in the front end, we don't see it very often. So if you see tripping in the front end or folding of the paw under and they kind of go down, if they're super, super senior, that's just a matter of the nervous system moving too slow and they have so much weight forward. If it's a younger dog, you have an upper cervical lesion that is a problem and is most likely a surgical deal. So if you happen to see it, I've seen it a couple times. I've seen dogs walk in here like that, and I'm like, you're in the wrong place.
So what we would see is if they're walking and their paw turns under,
in the front, and they kind of just go down. Yeah.
Would they?
Yeah.
But some dogs do like just trip every now and then. It's not like
every once in a while. And like I said, if they're really front loaded, and that's usually age related, yes, that's just tripping. That's just, and you can look at their nails and how the nails are worn. But I wonder if I could ever find a video, but there is something different with that, because when the front gets involved like that, then you have a much bigger issue that does require neurologist, MRI, discussion of surgery. Now, just licking of the paws, you could have a disc issue. And what happens is like, okay, so if you're sleeping and you have your arm up and you lay on your arm for a long time and you get up and it's asleep, right?
Right.
That could be what they're feeling, and they're messing with it and licking. And that's why you'll have just that one spot. Sometimes there'll be a couple spots. Sometimes it's higher up, like closer to the elbow. It just depends on how far down the nerves that come out of the neck, down into those arms that are being affected. So it may be pain. We don't know, right? We can't ask them, hey, is this a burning pain, stabbing pain, numbness, tingling? You know, we get the little charts when we go in. The dog's like, this is bugging the crap out of me. So I'm messing with it.
Right.
What that is. And you did the best question ever. All the paws, one of the paws, two of the paws. Perfect. It can be radiculopathy. It could be, pain. It can be tingling, coming from the nerves in the neck that go down into the front legs, just like nerves out of our neck go down our arms. It's a very similar setup.
And, you know, the problem is, just like this sweet pet parent had no idea that could be a possibility. So what did they think? I'm just going to change up the food. My dog's allergic to something. And if you take him into the vet, let's say a vet that wasn't involved in the issue of the car accident, then it's like,
they were.
Right. And then they put you on a hydrolyzed protein. They put you on some antibiotics. You got the dog all jacked and it was a total misdiagnosis.
Yeah. And I'm racking my brain and it's not as sharp as it used to be, but vets that I have worked closely with, they have sent dogs in with lick granulomas, which is what we call those spots, lick granulomas, to me, because this is not allergies. It's only here, or it's only these front feet. But those are only vets that I've worked with for years and years and years that have heard me say this time and time and time and time again. Most vets are like, oh, that's allergies. I'm like, that tummy's not red. The back feet aren't red. It stops right here.
We don't have problems with the ears.
We don't have patches of lost hair. You know, like, no, this is it right here. And then there are dogs that do more licking than others. Your higher anxiety dogs are going to do a lot more licking. So it doesn't mean that your dog's not walking around with some kind of peripheral neuropathy going down those front legs or back legs. They're just not messing with it. And then at that point, the pet parent doesn't know. I don't even know unless they come in and I do all my things, right?
You do all your woo-woo.
Yes, all my things.
Yeah, so I just thought that was so interesting and I loved it that you've educated me on that, educated our pet parents on that, because I was like, and then when he told me this dog was in this wreck to the point where one ear wouldn't even come up for a while, Dr. Andy.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
So there's been some trauma in there. Yeah.
Yes. Trauma. So I guess what would make that ear?
Oh, I don't know.
Not want to come up. I think it is up now, but he said he couldn't even hold, he couldn't turn his head. This dog couldn't turn his head and one ear was down.
The ear could just, the dog may have had control over that and it just hurt. And he just kind of like, you know, kind of just crunched up and just held it down. Muscle mastication would probably be involved. Your upper cervicals, your occiput. I would imagine the Atlas was and is, until she's adjusted, severely rotated. I'm surprised he's not having like maybe even ear infections or having trouble draining out of that side because of the innervation and the trauma.
Well, that's something that I want to know a little bit more about. So if a dog has trauma to the back and we're seeing chronic ear infections, would they have chronic ear infections, like you just said, if there was trauma to the back where it can't drain? It's not an allergy. It has something to do with that.
It's possible, especially if it's unilateral. If it's one ear, it's constantly one ear. I would definitely get them adjusted, but it would be high on my list. So let's make sure all the muscles and mastication are working like they should. Let's make sure the occiput and the atlas are moving and rotating like they're supposed to. Make sure there's no muscle spasms going on that we're just not aware of. I had a little Havanese in this week. All she does is itch the left side of her head and neck.
Okay.
Just the left side. And when I got in there, her lymph down that side was really boggy. Now, she wasn't having ear stuff, but she was constantly futzing with that side of her body. So we're hoping to get that to shift. She didn't write this on her intake form, but when mom was sitting here, she's like, well, the vet about a year ago forcibly opened her mouth because he wanted to see in there. Like trying to use all of it. It's a Havanese. We're not talking a mastiff. We're talking a little Havanese.
Right, right.
And she's like, I was even yelling at him to stop and that I would open her mouth for him. Like, I don't know what the whole deal was. She's like, could that have, I'm like, it's probably possibly part of what's going on. Absolutely. Cause there's so much neurology in the head around the ears in that TMJ. We have tons of neurology too. That's how we know we're standing upright. Is our ears, our TMJ. And same thing with the dogs. That's why when they have vestibular, right? Idiopathic vestibular or the head tilt, and the eyes will go side to side, called nystagmus, scares the ever loving bejesus out of pet parents, right? They're rushing to the ER, you know, immediately, right? And they call, if they're clients to me, they'll let me know. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's just this. And they're like, what?
They're thinking, do they think they're having a seizure?
Yeah, seizure, stroke,
yeah,
something. Sometimes they can't walk straight because they're so dizzy because it's an inner ear issue. And they can't eat and the eyes are fluttering and owners are like, oh my gosh, they were fine, blah, 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 hours ago. And we've talked about this before. It's idiopathic because even the idiots can't figure out why. And again, 20 years ago, it was treated as a self-limiting disease and they were diagnosed and kind of just sent home to chill out. And it usually passes in a few days. Now they keep them, they fluids, the sirenia, and I'm like, it's self-limiting. Occasionally in the past, so many years ago, clients would report that they got a little pred. Sometimes that helped, but there's nothing that even really helps.
So give us
the sirenia to make sure they eat. And I'm like, they're nauseous. They're dizzy. They can.
You're like, hey, people, you want to eat? While you're dizzy,
yeah, right? Your eyes are all fluttering. You think you want to eat? No. Aww.
All right, so that's a head tilt, an eye fluttering. Maybe they're doing this ataxia where they're not walking correctly.
Yep.
And what would we see, Dr. Andy, that would indicate a seizure over that? How do we tell the difference?
It's usually the seizures do not have the head tilt. The head tilt is pretty classic with the inner ear vestibular issue. The head tilt is classic. And generally, there's no nystagmus. There's no fluttering of the eyes. The seizures can be simply the dog stops, you know, far away look, not there, not moving at all, just kind of gone for a little bit, and then they're back. And then you have your grand mal where they are on the ground, kicking, flailing, peeing, pooping. It's intense.
Wow.
And then there's all the things in between. I think a lot of them are just on their side, kind of shaking, kicking, you know, kind of, you know, a little, don't get close to their mouth. You might get bit in the middle of that. Just, you know, if you can, maybe lay a blanket and just kind of pat them a little bit and let them finish and then decide what you want to do. If it's a first seizure and they come out of it and they're bright and they go get some water and they seem okay, you just need to make an appointment with your vet. You do not need to rush over to the ER, but you do need to do a follow-up.
All right. So we go to the vet. The dog's had a seizure.
And if it's a good vet, they'll go, okay, we're going to put this in the file and we're going to keep an eye on this and we don't need to do anything yet. It could be a one-off weird thing. And that should be it after one seizure.
If it's not,
then a lot of them are going to their MRIs and make sure there's no brain tumors or I've had a couple little dogs with MRs diagnosed with meningitis. The brain's actually, the coverings inflamed. Of the brain's inflamed. That seems to be more common. That's weird, people. What's that all about?
Oh, but we know what a possibility is, but we can't. We should we say it? Okay,
no,
go ahead.
No. So it just depends on, I think, how much your vet scares you. If there's one or two a year, would I actually treat with big pharma? Probably not. Would I look at a nice CBD product? If they're already eating raw, yes. If not, you change the food. You go raw, you get rid of the processed foods, you get them off of all the heartworm, you get them. There is no more vaccinations, period. And your vet should agree with you. If there's been a seizure, there's been a neurological event, if it was caused by that or not, there is no more. And your vet should be on board with that. If not, get a new vet. I have a hard line on that. When you have a dog that has had a seizure, just one. And then if they are a seizure dog, and I had, oh gosh, it was one of my little meningitis dogs. She's like, I have to find somebody that'll do their teeth because my vet won't do their teeth without giving them vaccinations. And this vet knows this dog has seizures, grand mal, like 4 minute long seizures. This is a 4-pound dog. Like, this is serious business. And this is what her vet was giving her. I think she finally had the neurologist talk to the vet and actually got it taken care of. But she's like, what do you think? I'm like, no, this is a hard no. You know,
what do I think? I think that's insane.
Yes. Well, I think I might have even said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get the protocols, but I don't think those are going to get better. So as I say on the podcast, it is up to us to get educated and then push back, right? Yeah, when we have a gut feeling that we need to wait, then wait. Yeah. Your dog, unless it is, you know, a life or death situation right then.
And if their first seizure is grand mal and they're down for 6 minutes and they're not coming back, you're going to the ER, folks. Like, if that's the first time you see that, and most of them do happen at night. And I don't know if we necessarily even know why. And the last class I was in with my mentor, we were doing neurology, obviously. My brain just went frips. We were doing all the motor and sensory pathways, and somebody asked, what about seizures? And my board certified chiropractic neurologist mentor for 40 years goes, he shrugs his shoulders. Like, there's so many different causes, so much we do not know about the brain, what sets it off, what doesn't. And sometimes I've had a couple in 20 years that it was mechanical. We adjusted them and never had another seizure. That's a couple, folks. I see a lot of dogs. So that's not the first thing out of my mouth when people talk to me about seizures. Sometimes it happens as a senior dog because of their anxiety, and it's a one-off and it never happens again. And then when you have a 2 or 3 year old dog that is seizing on a regular basis, you are going to be on pharmaceuticals. You just are. And you're sometimes lucky to get them controlled with pharmaceuticals.
Well, I would say, like what you said, Dr. Andy, let's look at first, can we clean out the body? Can we, is it like most people just jump right over?
They do. They
right?
Do. Yeah. Change to the food. Get them off all the pharmaceuticals that you can. What are you cleaning your house with? Where are you walking? Are you walking in the chemicals? Did they start seizing in the spring? We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
When they spray all the pretty grass. Is there something else in your house? Like, is it the damn iPod tracker thing you stuck on their collar 2 months ago? Get rid of all that stuff. You know, turn the Wi-Fi off at night. Maybe they're laying by the router. Move them. Like, what else could be bothering them? Unfortunately, sometimes you have to go. Sometimes dogs are completely managed with a really nice CBD product.
What do you think, Dr. Andy, is causing this anxiety in dogs? I hear this all the time. You mentioned it as you were talking. And it's like, you know, it's sort of like ADHD in kids. You know, what is going on? Why are dogs? Well, here's my question. Are they really anxious? And if so, what are we doing now that's causing dogs to be anxious? Or are they anxious?
I think they are anxious due to neural degeneration from generations of toxins, either the vaccines, the heartworms, the kibbles, the EMFs in our house, the pretty new canned lights in the ceiling, they're blue light toxic. They are exposed to absolutely everything we are exposed to. And aren't we a hell of a lot more anxious and depressed? And I think it's from neural degeneration. I think our nervous systems are in trouble. I like that for an
answer. And on that note, happy Monday to you. You know, so what would you do? What do you do? What do you suggest that people, well, first of all, let me ask you, What does an anxious dog look like to you?
Oh, that's a good question. It's usually the ones that don't even want to walk through my door. Right? They're scared of a threshold. Like, oh, we have a problem here. That's like my first. And it happens quite often. And I work out of my home. This is a regular doorway. I'm not asking them to go through one of those swinging glass doors like at the vet's office. This is just a regular front door. And there is a lot that have to be coaxed through that door. And okay, there's an issue here. That's my tip off right there. Fear aggression, right? Standing behind mom. Mm. Like, I want a dog to walk through the door, stand there. They do not have to run up to me and give me kisses and jump all over me, right? Like, actually, that's kind of rude. But we'll leave that to the Labradors. But they need to confidently walk in the door and go and kind of like, they don't have to stare at me in the eyes, but they have to like make a little eye contact and okay, I'm going to check out my place that I'm in. And then, okay, we're kind of dealing with a full deck here. But I got to say, at least 50% of the time, we're not dealing with a full deck.
Dang. I don't want people to say, your dog ain't got a full deck. It's like, you know, I was telling you about that neighbor that came by and who had that little chihuahua, right? And Laws is in her space, in her home. Mm-hmm. And that little chihuahua comes over and comes into our space to pee on the tree. And Lawsy goes right for her, you know, doesn't do anything. Knocks her over, done bite her. And the guy goes, your dog's not very well trained, is she? And I was like, well, your dog's still alive.
I was going to say, yeah, she is. You still have a dog. That was exactly what I was thinking. But,
oh, it's so funny. Last night we were walking and, you know, right now, I don't know if you're seeing it up where you are, Andy, but we have the deer are everywhere. They're everywhere. In herds. And I'm talking about, you know, 20 at a time. And it's funny because they're standing right there in someone's yard, just kind of looking at us. They're mm-hmm. pretty bold, you know, up here.
Yeah.
And Laws just walks by them. Mm-hmm. But I'll be dang if there wasn't a fox last night. And I don't know what it, and we... When we come around a certain corner on our walk, we put her back on a leash because it's a semi, people are driving, you know, semi busy, not really busy, but you know, there's cars. So we had her on the leash. She would have gone and chased that fox or something about a fox mm-hmm. that she's like, that's prey. I'm going for it. And those fox are so funny because they're like, huh, how are you? You know,
we had one in the neighborhood that would kind of go on the walks with us. It would stay like behind,
yeah,
drive my dogs nuts, but would kind of just continue and did this for weeks with us and then went on about its way. I don't know what happened. But just the other morning, we had a black fox come by the house.
They're beautiful, aren't
oh,
they?
Oh, my God. He was gorgeous. Or she, I don't know. But wow, she looked amazing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are beautiful. They're beautiful animals, but I don't know. They very cat-like, you know, the fox. Mm-hmm. They're very much like cats. And she's just like, "Hello." But yeah, so we had to call her off of that. But it's funny because she doesn't even care about the elk. She doesn't care about the deer. You know, she will, her hackles will come up when there's another dog, but she won't mm-hmm. go after him, right? But that fox, I don't know what the deal is with the fox. It's a crazy thing.
It's probably just, she's very curious about it more than anything.
She is very curious. Hey, I wanted to throw something out there. What you were talking about, this little 4-pound dog. Mm-hmm. Because I've been looking at, you know, why we feed raw meaty bones, right? Mm-hmm. Why do we feed raw meaty bones? Primarily because they're a complete diet, right? Everything is in there, the fat, the enzymes, the vitamins, the minerals. It's not going to have methionine if it is just a bone. But if it's a raw meaty bone with the meat and the bone, very much a complete meal. And also, you were talking about, because Brian got on to me, goes, Dee Dee, you titled your last podcast with Dr. Andy about the teeth, and then you guys didn't even talk about the teeth. I was like, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get confused.
I didn't recall talking about teeth either, but hey, you know.
He was like, you didn't even talk about the teeth. But, you know, that is something that pet parents are very afraid of. And in fact, it's one of the healthiest things that you can do for your animals. So you could do a chicken wing. You could do a turkey neck. These small animals, I get it. The little 4-pounders, it's tough. But the other thing, you were talking about brushing the dog's teeth. The other thing that we've talked about before is you could do a little teaspoon of coconut oil and 1/16 teaspoon of love bugs. And brush your dog's teeth. Now, I, Dr. Andy, am going to confess, I have never brushed my dog's teeth.
I've tried maybe 3 times and it was a joke. So I'm going to go with I've never brushed my dog's teeth.
Right? And I don't take them in to get there. Well, I will say that, you know, Asta was 15. And so that we have that Bluto's yummy gum brush that and it's an essential oil. It comes with a little sponge, and Rick really would work on Asta's teeth. And then, when I can't remember, we were in Moab and Amanda did clean her teeth with that kind of gentle cleaning stuff because her teeth, she was starting to get some gnarly teeth there at the end, because she decided she didn't want to chew on bones anymore.
Right.
But as I was reading in Dr. Billinghurst's book, he was talking about that when the invention of these very fancy teeth cleaning machines came around and they began selling them into the veterinary clinics and showing them how much money they could make with all of these vet cleaning, you know, products, he said that's when the tartar skyrocketed, because not only were they making money off of cleaning teeth, but they were telling people, don't give your dogs bones. Wow. Don't give your dogs raw meaty bones. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, because he's a veterinary surgeon, right?
Yeah.
So he was saying, I said, give your dog a raw meaty bone to clean their teeth. Now, there's other things that clean teeth. I think in your article, you were saying that there's some plush toys.
Yeah, if your dog likes to chew on the plush toys, because that material will just rub on the teeth,
yeah,
that's great. So I'm like, I'm going to, next puppy, going to really encourage that. We don't have any of those around here because we have fights. But yeah, I have one little white dog. Her teeth are amazing because that's what she does. She suckles and chews and plays with her soft animals every day.
I'm as like, long as they don't tear them apart. Yeah, and eat them.
Well, yes. I mean, like common sense, folks. But yeah, bully sticks, raw meaty bones. Absolutely. Yeah, that they have to chew on some stuff. And I got to say, my Bigs' teeth are amazing. And they do. They are the ones that get the raw meeting bones. By the time I was educated enough in the raw meeting bone compartment of raw feeding, I never gave them to my littles. And I think the littles do, depending on how little, 4 pounds, my 6 pound, they may not even ever have the dentation for it. But I think if you start them out young, oh yeah. Oh, and Torch can, my 11-pound dachshund, he can take out a duck neck. Oh yeah, he's got a big mouth, and his breeder actually was giving chicken necks when he was, before he came to live with me. So he was super little, like between 8 and 12 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Dr. Billinghurst is such a big fan. Well, the name of the book is Give Your Dog a Bone. I mean, so yeah, there you go. You know, but I still get those calls. Oh my goodness, there's bones in the blend, and I'm afraid. And I'm like, I know you're afraid, but is your dog having an issue, right? We can be afraid of a lot of things because we're not educated, or maybe we don't realize these are carnivores. And when they are chewing on a raw meaty bone, trust me, especially if it's a poultry bone, like a turkey neck, chicken wing, chicken back, you know, duck head, anything like that, they're going to break off much larger pieces and swallow them than they will the bones in the blends.
Oh, but, absolutely.
But what Dr. Billinghurst says is you want a dog with hip dysplasia, you want a dog with bone problems, do a calcium supplement instead of real bone, right? Or don't give him bone at all. And he's like, you are barking up the wrong tree. You are going to have a dog that has problems. Real bone has to be in the diet. So
absolutely.
I don't know how to get that through to my pet parents. I mean, there's not real bone in kibble.
No.
Is there anything real in kibble?
No.
Uh-huh. There is. Preservatives and synthetics.
Mm, yes.
Cake, cookies, and chemicals. It's the 3C, Dr. Andy.
It is.
Cake, cookies, and chemicals.
And it'll cause the big C.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's a good one. Can I borrow that?
Oh, please do. Please do.
Cake, cookies, and chemicals that cause the big C. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, you know, Dr. Andy, the rabies webinar is about to launch. Dr.
Is
Jason.
It?
Yes, it is ready to go. And we're going. That's probably going to happen next week. You know, I so wish I could have like Sam and Mark Bailey and Dr. Tom Cowan and Jacek and Andy Kaufman and all these people come together and talk about rabies. But or the.
Oh, okay.
But
the possible illusion.
The illusion, yes. Well, listen, everybody, I think that having Dr. Andy on your team is vital. You have a dog whose eyes are fluttering, its ear is down, it can't turn his head, is wobbling, limping, not getting up, not sitting pretty. You want to work with Dr. Andy and get a second opinion, right? Before you do something crazy, before you spend thousands of dollars, before you put your dog on a lot of pharmaceuticals, before you decide to keep doing pharmaceuticals, right? Get over to animalmagiccare.com. Dr. Andy can do a Zoom call with you, can look at your dog, can look at your records, and give you an alternative, holistic protocol and possibilities.
And possibilities. Or at least explain what the vets were telling you.
Right? Because, I mean, like, how many of you have really heard about all of the different things that are going on in the head area? Just like if you're somebody has cleaned your dog's teeth, or opened your dog's mouth to a point that it's doing something to their, is it mastication?
It is mastication, yes. Muscles of mastication. The muscles that do the chewing, because chewing is called mastication.
There you go.
You masticate your food.
You may not even know that something has happened that is causing this, and it doesn't have anything to do with allergies, doesn't have anything to do with them getting older. It has something to do with they need to be adjusted. Right. So this is where Dr. Andy is vital to your health team. So get over to magiccare.com. All right. Get your dog on a species appropriate diet. You want to get him off the cookies, the cake, and the chemicals, because as Dr. Andy says, we don't want the big C.
Do not.
You do not. All right, everybody. Remember, Wednesday night's Yappy Hour right here at rawdogfoodandcompany.com. That's where everything goes on sale. Not everything, but a lot of things. Food, bones, treats, and supplements. All right. Get over there today where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Andy?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. And that's why you're my friend, Dr. Andy.
That's why you're my friend.
I'll see you soon. Bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.